I'll never forget the first moment when I walked in Cure Cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to the 45th Skinon Podcast. 46th Skinon Podcast. I got wrong.
We're nearly a year.
We are here. We're a year and 1 week.
If you count the weeks we missed.
Yeah, because we missed.
Not counting the mezzanine.
Yeah, so. No, indeed not.
yeah. That's good. Look at us.
Yes.
We're so proud. Nobody remember this last week?
No.
I only remember this week. It was last week.
Oh, look at our commitment to these things. Look what a year has done to us.
Philip has TB, so if you're listening, that's what's happening over there. We're all in doctor surgical gowns. Not because we have to, because we want to.
Yeah, I'm recreating.
They're quite fetching, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm doing an iPhone version of John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. So, yeah. Jason, what have you been watching?
Well, as I mentioned, I've inhaled the first two seasons of Game of Thrones this weekend, so it hasn't left much. That's a rewatch, obviously. It hasn't left much room for films.
I say that's a rewatch, son.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah. You don't fog on a Leghorn over here?
It sounded a bit like it, I must admit.
Other than that, I rewatched The Age of Innocence.
And
a Scottish one I haven't seen in quite some time, probably a good 15 years, I'd say.
I thought you rewatched his entire back catalogue every year.
I somehow missed rewatching this for some reason. To either willful neglect or forgetfulness. I'm getting to that age. But it's sumptuous. It's beautifully shot. Quite well acted, for the most part.
Who's the weak link?
Ryder's not bad, but she's probably the weak link in a stellar trio of...
Well, she's up against Michelle Pfeiffer and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. So. She does okay, and the part kind of calls for a certain kind of naivety, so it kind of works to some degree.
She's still... I like Winona Ryder.
So do I.
But if only she had kept on for Godfather Part 3, it could have significantly improved.
That and Pacino would have dialed it down several notches. But anyway, let's not get bogged down in the Godfather 3 conversation.
Again.
Sofia Coppola.
Yeah. But The Age of Innocence, it's not quite top tier Scorsese, although a lot of people seem to think it is. I am reading some reviews after I rewatched it. I did like it a lot. And as it's beautifully edited, some really skillful touches in it, that kind of like sharper kind of juddery stuff going on that you wouldn't expect in a kind of a period kind of film. And as I said, it's beautiful. Some of the cinematography is amazing.
That's Michael Ballhaus.
Yeah, he was great working on it. But really, really enjoyable. Great to, you know, to kind of realise that you haven't watched the Scorsese in a long time ago. That's it, then I watched it. It was great. My other watch, Philip, and this is the one I really want to get to.
pardon my weird laugh there, but I'm excited.
Goodbye to language.
Hello, debate.
Right. Okay. I have a little picture here of the film Piccadilly on my phone, which is the Anime Wong film we watched in the IFI Open Day last year.
Yes.
What's interesting, what it was brought to mind for me was, if you remember correctly, when we sat down to watch it, there was no musical accompaniment whatsoever.
No.
It was completely silent. It's a silent film.
Proper silent.
But there's nothing. There's no sound at all.
No.
And I remember how unusual initially that was.
We're
accustomed to a lot of things when we watch films, in terms of musical cues, in terms of visual style, editing, narrative, all the usual kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, Piccadilly had most of those things.
Oh, it did. It was fine. It's a fine film. Anime Wong is great.
Yeah. But Goodbye to Language does not.
No, but what Goodbye to Language does, and does really, really well for starters, it reminds you how dependent modern audiences are on familiarity, particularly in sound and in vision. I love this film.
Wow. I really wasn't expecting
it. Neither was I. I went to see it on Monday in Lighthouse, and I've never seen anything like it.
It is genuinely unique.
And I watched it, and I remember thinking at the time, and I wrote it up a little bit on Letterboxd, say only a few lines, but it's the only essential 3D film.
As in, the only film that's essential to see in 3D.
Yes, but the only film I would say that does something with 3D... That you haven't seen before. And it's not
quite
designed.
Literally.
Yeah, and there's something... Yeah, I mean, there's two twice that's done, where they split the... Well, how you describe it, split the effect, they move one
something that shouldn't be in the shot is suddenly in the shot.
Yeah. And done, I think the second time it's done, there's a naked woman and a naked man, and one goes to the other side of the room, the other stays there. So you have a choice to watch, if you want to close one eye and close the other eye if you want, you can watch one or both. It's almost like a choice if you want to do that. Because I found myself doing that.
Better off making a choice, you'll end up with a headache really quick.
But I put it again, I was writing it up a little bit today, it's a jolt to the heart for tired cinema audience, I think. I can understand why people have come out against it to the point where people have, like, to the kind of
hatred.
It's bizarre, absolutely bizarre. Its use of team in terms of the kind of Goddard man, the woman. There's even a gun that, if you want to go like the old kind of adage.
Yeah.
There's the usual kind of philosophical.
Meanderings.
I mean, he's playing with us here. He's playing with us in terms of story, he's playing with us in terms of sound. That big bombastic music that kicks up and threatens to run
a stroke every time it comes on.
But what's interesting about that, and each time it happens, is that you're kind of thinking, you're expecting that lift that you get from those kind of musical cues you generally get.
And then the
visual kind of excesses, the sound play. There's even a point where it switches from black and white colour to black and white colour really quickly for a few times.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then they're talking about older kind of film, then you switch it on that. There's even the train arrives at the station kind of thing with the kind of really fast train, obviously, now, as opposed to a new train. Then it's just, I loved it. There's just so much in it. And what's really kind of depressing about it in some ways is that I'm not going to get a chance to see it again because I have a film or two to see the next week or so.
Or three. Or
and dozen. It's irrelevant at home unless you have a 3D setup, I suppose, if you're that way inclined. I presume Kyle has.
Yeah, he does.
Of course he does.
Will he watch it?
Yes.
You should because it's come to US Netflix in April. I would recommend it. It's kind of astonishing. It's a solid 4-star to 4.5-star for me. I really, really like it.
I can't quite go that far because it's just, like I said before, I can't recommend it to anybody out of hand, but I do appreciate what it's doing. And Lord knows we need that. You're right. It is trying to shake an audience out of the complacency of sound, visuals, and narrative.
Yeah. And it's doing something that hasn't been done before. But I think it's almost like taking a shot at filmmakers, saying you have this new technology and you have all the money in the world.
And what the hell are you doing with it?
I mean, if you look at maybe Scorsese's use of it 3D in Hugo a little bit, has a kind of playful kind of thing in terms of melee and kind of the effects he used in Trip to the Moon and stuff like that. You know, where that's probably the only time I could see a kind of thematic reason for 3D.
Yeah, but that's illusory.
This is the first time this is like. It's like, no, look, this is what you can do with 3D if you want to.
But the thing is, though, when you say this is what you can do, does that mean you should do?
Not necessarily.
No.
And I'm not. And if that film had been 120 minutes as opposed to 70 minutes, I wonder, would it be feeling the same way?
Probably not.
But I think the point, he's making an extreme point to make a point as to what people are doing with technology, what people are doing with film.
I give it a full credit for that. It is making a very, very valid point, and I think as an experiment it deserves a wider audience. I just think somebody compared it to, what was it? Oh yeah, they said it was the Jazz Singer for 3D.
I heard that. I think it was the Jazz Singer moment somebody made a point.
I think that's a pretty good comparison because it is showing how to use a new technology in film. But at the same time, the Jazz Singer, if you watch it now, I mean, the novelty is gone, long gone. And I think if you were to watch Goodbye to Language, say, 10, 20, 30 years down the line...
Where will it stand?
Well, where will it stand?
But maybe...
We're not going to do anything particularly new with 3D.
But why not, though, I suppose? I don't even think the point he's making is necessarily about 3D, even though he uses 3D to make the point. It's about all kind of technology. It's even about narrative, and it's about what filmmakers are doing now with the form, like, and not doing enough to kind of explore the form a bit, as opposed to traditional safe narrative, three-act structures, blah, 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 so on and so forth.
But I mean, any kind of experimentation with narrative, well, of course, besides the fact that it's not going to sell, I don't know. There has to be some other way to do that.
But I mean, if an 80-something-year-old man can knock something together, get a cinema release and get awards in Cannes, so on.
But
so
then
on.
Again, is he the only person who could do it?
Well, he's the only one that's trying.
Again, possibly because he's the only person who could. As somebody said, if this were a student film made exactly the same way, would we praise it? God, no.
But it depends on what was being aimed for.
I mean, well, we know what was being aimed for Goddard because he's Goddard. Yeah. This is what he's been doing. But,
and he has earned that right to do that, just that.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting debate.
And it's we're still talking.
Well, I didn't really get headachy or kind of nauseated by it, although, as I said, if it went a little longer, I might have hurt. Mm. But I found it absolutely fascinating.
Oh, it is fascinating. I don't like it quite as much as you, but it is a fascinating
experience. I'm shocked I liked it that much.
So am I.
There you go. Well, then. Didn't make the top 10, alas. But,
Quelle surprise.
But that was my major watch of the weekend.
Indeed it was.
Cool.
Let's see. Well, I've had the Lurgy. So,
as if to underscore his point.
Well, I'm about as subtle as a Goddard camera move.
And you're in an isolation tent.
It's a lovely setup you have for me in this tent. Well, a little drinks cabinet and all.
We basically went with one of those old-fashioned, you know, World War II tents in the middle of the room here.
It's a bit drafty, mind.
Well.
Anyway, one thing I watched, you had some TV binging. I had a bit myself. I was getting through a long-needed rewatch of the sixth season of Mad Men.
Yes.
And there is a show that, because of when it's set at a time when some great films come out. And one of the best scenes in this series, this particular series, if not the whole show so far, is towards the end of one episode when Don Draper takes his son to watch Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
And this this season, it's set in 1968. Things are not going well worldwide.
No.
Vietnam, at that stage, Dr. King has been shot.
I was going to say Dr. Zayas there for a second.
Oh, Dr. Zayas.
You're going to hold past the apes.
Stuff is hitting the fan. And then to imagine what it'd be like for a father to bring his 9 or 10-year-old son to the cinema and then be confronted with that ending. How do you explain that to a kid afterwards?
There's a lot to take in. I mean,
yeah.
Historically, even you think about it, it's a strong ending to a film. Like, it's like now it's kind of like it's everybody knows it's iconic and it's whatever, but it's a shocking ending in a lot of ways.
It's a real gut punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same as an Empire. You know, at the time, the Empire ending, you know, to the uninitiated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's really, really dark.
Yeah.
Suited
the show in that regard.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you go in thinking, "Oh, this could be quite entertaining," and it is. But then, boom!
Yeah,
they blew it up. Anyway, as far as films go, I had one rewatch. I rewatched Her.
Excellent.
I love this film so much. I want to hug it. I want to give it a hug and say, "Oh, you're wonderful." It's just. No, I see far too much of myself in Theodore Twombly. I know this.
I see far too much of Theodore Twombly in you.
Thank you. I don't have Joaquin Phoenix's ability for a mustache, though.
No.
No.
Not yet.
He gives good tash. He gives a great performance, actually. It's really sweet and quite heartbreaking. Even though I knew what was coming, the end, the second time, weeping. You get weeping.
I liked it, but I don't like it as much as most do.
Okay, fair enough.
It's one serial cafe away from Hipsterville Central as a film.
Well, that's the way it's designed. That's,
I know.
Future where basically the hipsters won.
Even the music, and it's like that song irritates the hell out of me. And
that's the point. Yeah, it's meant to be cheesy.
If you want to see a future run by cheese, Demolition Man.
Oh, indeed.
No, do you know how to read the three shells?
Oh, he's explained it, and I don't want to read it.
Oh, no.
I like her. I just I didn't like it as much as everybody else did.
Oh, fair enough. I just I thought it was wonderful. But there's one scene in particular that made me hoot this time around. Is one point where Joaquin Phoenix's character Theodore, he takes out his personal assistant, nominally voiced by Scarlett Johansson, and he tries to switch it on, but it says cannot access server. She's gone. And he tries again and again and again. He tries it on his PC and he can't get it there. And he cannot access her. And the way he runs about trying to find her afterwards, I just thought, I think I've seen people looking for coverage in this, much the same way. It is really weird just how dependent we get on technology. I say this as we're recording on this digital microphone and Niall is looking at his MacBook.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah,
we all have our smartphones on the table.
I am much more dependent on technology than most people.
Oh yeah, I'm a Luddite and I still have an iPhone 5.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. I hate what I've become.
On a similar note, I was also on the TV binge as well.
Look at us, we're betraying our roots.
I caught up completely with the first season of a new American TV show called Scorpion.
I've never heard this. Sounds hokey as hell.
This is hokey as hell. So right, basically,
brilliant.
The idea is it's based on the true story of this bloke called Walter O'Brien, who apparently has 197 IQ, and is from Callan in County Kilkenny. Right?
What?
So Callan in County Kilkenny is not very far from where I grew up. So I am. And so in the very first scene of this thing, they go to Callan and the FBI have found out that this kid who's about 10 has hacked into NASA so that he can download the blueprints for the space shuttle so he can put it on his wall, right?
I'm surprised you haven't already. No, maybe this is your story.
No, but here's the thing, right? None of them sound like they're from Kilkenny, right?
Where do they sound like they're from, though?
The Bigara land, or Ireland, okay. Wherever.
Well, this is American TV.
Yes.
And this is the lead.
The lead, his name is Elias Gable, and he looks less Irish than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
I can confirm that.
He is not really.
Yeah, so he's English, but there's nobody.
He doesn't look English either.
But he and his sister are in the show, neither of whom have Irish accents, so it's kind of a bit mad. They flash back to his youth, and his dad is wearing a tweed cap, and it's all very... This would have been, like, late 80s, you know, Ireland, yeah. Early 90s, Ireland.
And I remember late 80s, 90s Ireland. Yeah. It didn't look like that.
It wasn't that bad. But, yeah, it's very, very odd. Justin Lin is one of the executive producers.
Oh, good God.
And Walter O'Brien himself, and Kurtzman and Orsi.
Oh,
there you go. What channel is this being? Who made this?
It's, I don't know who is
because
it. It's CBS in America.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I've never heard of it. Maybe you've piqued my interest.
Scorpion. Right, anyway, so he's a genius, and he's assembled a team together.
Of course,
right?
He has.
Yeah. And there's the government agent comes to get his team to help them with government things. So it's very numbers-y,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Robert Patrick is the government agent. So that's awesome, the Terminator.
But there's no amount of Robert Patrick can cover up how shit this sounds.
Eddie K. Thomas is in it as well.
Oh, I'm out.
And Catherine McPhee is the nominal sort of...
Who's Catherine McPhee?
...pretty girl, female lead. She is a former American Idol.
Ah, okay. That's why I never heard of her.
No.
I've got questions, right?
Yes, go.
I doubt we're going to get...
Have we got a second season?
Yes. There is a second season. It's actually quite popular.
I've never heard of it. And I pride myself on knowing quite a bit of television.
I'm reminded of that Family Guy song they did at the Emmys one year. CBS was once a network that was reverend and clean, but now they have some shows that are remarkably obscene, like the one about a little boy who lives with Charlie Sheen. And so on. And so
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
And that's it. Oh, my God. CBS, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's very, very, very odd.
Is it any good?
Now,
I'm defining good by schlucky enough to be enjoyable.
It is enjoyably bad. Sort of. It's like Numbers in that sort of way. I think I preferred Numbers a little more, but
I've never seen Numbers either.
Numbers is worth watching.
No, it isn't.
Is that the one with David Boreanaz?
No, that's Bones.
Then which one is Numbers?
Numbers is the one with the...
There's a tree instead of an E,
prodigy, Tony and Ridley Scott were the executive producers on
it. Oh, that's not good.
I don't understand how anything with Tony Scott's name on it can be bad.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Well, I don't know. Domino.
I do you know what? I have a soft spot for Tony Scott movies. There's a lot of enjoyment.
True Romance.
Yeah.
Good God, that film is so much fun. Yeah. It's violent, unnecessarily so sometimes, but still.
Yeah.
Right, we move away from Scorpion.
Thank God.
While I was watching, to complete my Verhoeven rewatch season. Yeah, Total Recall.
You'd call it a Verhoeven orgy, surely.
Yeah, you probably would.
A Verhoeveton.
I saw Total Recall on the big screen a few years back.
How does it stand up?
I still love Total Recall.
It's so cheesy.
Oh, yeah. And it's too long.
Oh, far too long.
Yeah. But, oh, it's just bonkers.
But you know what?
Sharon Stone.
Yeah, she's looking well. I granted that in that film. But I don't know how much of the... I'll put it this way, right? Verhoeven, he's always tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But I think Schwarzenegger, unintentionally or otherwise, takes it up a notch. I mean,
I think
how can you not be in fits of laughter when you hear the line, "Give those people ill," and the emphasis on ill.
It's
all so cringy. And so wonderful simultaneously.
How's that? It's you.
Oh.
It's when he's talking to himself. Oh, it's just brilliant. Yeah.
You
are me. Yeah, he's recording the video.
I was at a 40th birthday recently enough, kind of end of January, I think it was, in Odessa Club upstairs. And the kind of club part kind of opened upstairs and so on. We go up there, I don't really go to club places anymore. Actually, I never really did, but end up there anyway. And they had, like, you know, as the places want to do, they have movies thrown up on a wall and so
right.
on. Get Total Recall. So I sat there watching Silent Total Recall for about an hour and a half. Barely decided conversations and kind of, oh, there's three boobs. I'm very simple. That's my Total Recall.
Oh, there's Ronnie Cox doing an even more a more cheesy version of the character he played in RoboCop.
Yeah,
back in time for cornflakes. Oh my
god. So we rewatched it in the club. There you go.
I could think of worse places.
That's probably fair.
Well,
but yes, it does have the three booze, it does have Rachel Ticotin being kick ass, it does have Sharon Stone. It's
when she decides to take him on in the apartment.
Consider that a divorce.
Yeah.
Question.
Flying everywhere from
me. I haven't seen the remake. I presume it's pants.
The remake is derivative. It's very...
Well, if there's one thing the original wasn't, it's derivative.
Yeah,
it's very action beat. It takes off Minority Report as well as...
Oh,
okay.
Although, arguably, Minority Report took off the original in some way. So.
Well, I had no real intention of watching it.
The problem was watching it, and because it's Colin Farrell, I couldn't help but be reminded that I wasn't watching Minority Report or the original Total Recall, both of which were vastly superior
to Minority Report.
What I was watching,
good.
But then Kate Beckinsale came on screen and I forgot, you know, most things. It was
charming.
She's a fine looking woman.
I'm not denying that. I'm
pretty
just saying.
Actress, though.
I don't know.
I think Scorsese got some good out of her.
He got nothing out of her. She sank that movie a little bit every time she was on screen. And I love The Aviator. I have a real soft spot for it.
I
adore The Aviator.
It's beautiful film. But when Beckinsale was on screen, it's like, yeah, you're not Ava Gardner.
No, very few women are.
Yeah, but Cate Blanchett can...
Can be Catherine Hepburn.
They needed somebody stronger. You like
it's an extended
Cate Blanchett.
I know that's just about gets away because she's not in it very much. I suspected the editing. He realised that and cut her out.
Oh, Cate Beckinsale is never going to worry anyone for Oscar, whereas Cate Blanchett is a perennial.
Yeah, this is true.
And thank God for that, eh? Oh, you've just reminded me. Cate Beckinsale's in the new Winterbottom is just another reason I hate it so much.
Okie dokie. Anyway,
don't remind Philip of things now.
Okay, onto the news.
I get reminded.
You know who he gets.
Yes. So,
ill.
One of the things that was launched on Monday evening to an unsuspecting world was Rory Robinson's concept trailer for The Leviathan.
Right, I haven't watched this, but I did see a lot of people going, holy shit.
It's quite extraordinary
to watch this evening. How long is this? How long is
it? 3 minutes and six
seconds.
Oh, okay.
I really could spare that.
Yeah. It's extraordinary looking. He did almost all of it himself. So basically, he's got...
He's done like Gareth Edwards on it.
Yeah,
basically.
He has. Yeah, but the man can create some amazing looking visuals. That's where he's strongest. I mean, the last.
So we're so strikers.
Yeah, the last so what was on Mars was not.
Oh, I thought it was okay. I'm a little better than most people.
What was the problem? I haven't seen it, but can we agree then? Was the issue the script more than anything?
Script wasn't. The script didn't help. Yeah,
it's okay. It's like I was expecting an absolute bomb when I watched it. I enjoyed it.
No, it's not terrible. You know? It's okay. It's got Liev Schreiber.
It was always worth.
Sorry, anytime you have Liev Schreiber, that's a good thing.
I'm glad you said that. I like Liev Schreiber.
So do I.
Oh.
He's very good.
Yeah, in the remake of The Manchurian Candidate.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
He is.
I thought he was your Bourne, kind of. If you're going to rejig Bourne, I would have went with him rather than Jeremy Renner.
He's also really good in when he's in as Sabretooth in the worst.
Don't bring that up.
But this is scripted by Jim Ouels, who did Fight Club. It's got Robbie Ryan and Nick Ryan's production company behind it as well.
Let me ask you a question.
And it's gotten money off the Irish Film Board to bring it
this
far.
Is this a film? So is this happening?
The idea is that it would happen.
Is this a kind of Kickstarter kind of thing?
No, he's in talks with producers, and I know some of the names that he's been talking to, okay. But I'm not at liberty to say them. But
So obviously there's a script. He's going to direct it. What kind of budget
this is his sort of calling card or getting the... Well, I say... It will be, you're talking to 50, 60, up to 80 million.
So the RF film board is for about 40 million?
Their film board mandate for a co-production won't give more than one. So.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting. Like if they did kick money, it'd be interesting what happens.
I could imagine it depends on how much you want to pay it back, but looking at what's in it...
You want it all on screen. You want to see it. Like I'll look at it later. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I'll definitely have a look later.
I'm far more excited about this than any reboot of Alien that Neil Blomkamp wants to do.
You and me both.
Hey, what do you mean? I thought you loved Chappie.
I haven't seen it.
No, I was talking about Jason.
I haven't seen it either. Nor will I, because I have other things to be doing.
So, Jade of today announced that they were adding some additional things into the schedule. The new Viggo Mortensen film.
Chauka.
Yes.
What? Did you do a cough again?
No. Chauka. Oh, excuse me.
So that was added in. It showed in Dingle there last weekend. And now
obvious plug, my interview with Viggo Mortensen is on the website.
So today they added the appearance of Laurent Cantet, who is directing Return to Ithaca. This is he's Pandore, an Oscar Award nominee for The Class.
Oh.
So he
won the Pandore, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then Pandore recipient and Oscar and Academy Award nominee. Yeah, he's going to receive the third Volta. So Julie Andrews.
They're going to be like Grammys if you keep getting out like that.
Yeah. And then they've added Iris, the last film from Albert Mills.
Oh. Yeah, see, this now we don't can't fit that in. I kind of want to see that.
Especially Pasolini got shoved out.
But yeah, Pasolini, unfortunately, is...
Yeah, well,
is
it's still on their website, lads. You just need to kind of take that down, because there's still the booking options, eh?
Yeah.
Also, I want to know, Knight of Cups, no?
No.
Ah,
okay. You're holding out for a surprise film, aren't you?
It's going to be bloody Snowpiercer, but I'm holding out for Knight of Cups.
I know what I think it'll be.
I
do not think it'll be Snowpiercer.
No. I really hope not, because you know what I like that,
I'd
right?
like it to be just for the look on Jay's face.
I'd like to be there to witness Fury Road just for the look.
I'd bring a camera. Would it be that? No, couldn't that?
No.
When is that out? Yeah, okay. No.
Do we have guesses on what it'll be?
John Wick.
Gotta be John Wick, I'd say.
Yeah.
But John Wick.
Less disappointing
movies
than...
Movies.ie are showing a preview of John Wick soon. Movies.ie are showing a preview.
So maybe not.
John Wick soon.
Ah, but then it probably is.
Yes.
Ah, well.
That could be worse.
It's less annoying than Snowpiercer, I think, that much.
Anyway, Jade starts tomorrow. Thursday, March 19th.
We have got our films finalised, our lists.
Yes, I have 29 as the final.
Oh my goodness.
Run ends. So.
Where have you got, Phil?
17.
Of 18.
And actually, that'll probably be down to 16 now that I think about it.
Well, we don't want you to relapse and end up in another isolation war film, so this is probably good.
So, moving on from Jade, John Moore is back.
Ah!
Hide your family. Hide your
hide the IFB money.
For the first time since A Good Day to Die Hard, John Moore is back in the director's chair.
This sounds like A Good Day to Die.
Isn't he like isn't he like Ireland's Michael Bay? Isn't he the one you're ashamed of?
No, don't say that. That implies he's actually successful in some regard. Because Michael Bay makes money.
John Moore don't make money.
No. John Moore films are always watchable. They're not
necessarily... they're not always watchable. Even a fucking remake of The Omen.
They can be watchable for just how bad they
Behind
are.
Enemy Lines? I'm sorry. Owen
Wilson as an action?
I like seeing people shoot at Owen Wilson. I'm sorry. I like Owen Wilson. I detest Owen
Wilson.
Really?
Yeah. I don't mind Owen Wilson.
I liked him in the Inherent Vice.
I like Owen Wilson.
And your question is, whose side am I on? I have to work on
anyway,
that.
IT.
I'm not going to work with John Moore again. I've got it in my contract.
IT. Stars Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, God, Pierce.
This is Pierce Brosnan basically going down to Liam Neeson and soon to be Sean Penn route.
Not far much longer of Sean Penn's.
But he's already got one movie like this, November Man.
Yes, and so this is the second in this...
What's November Man?
It's one he made.
Didn't he make that one a few years ago that was really quite good, actually? One with Greg Kinnear. Was it Greg Kinnear?
The Matador.
That was all right, though. Yeah,
that was a fun film.
I like Pierce Brosnan.
This one sees Pierce Brosnan play a successful businessman who was once a thug in his youth and has changed his ways. He discovers that his company's new IT employee is actually a dangerous madman who's out to destroy the business and his family.
Yeah, the madmen love IT, don't they?
Yes, yeah, they do.
Oh, look, he's fixing his servers. No, he's a madman.
We've got the teeth.
Tell us what you really think, Jay.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day writer William Wisher on board, and the Little Miss Sunshine co-producer David Friendly, but this is a guy who's also responsible for all three Big Mama houses.
What a CV! I think my CV looks better than his.
Yeah, and so it's just, the story idea comes from him, from David Friendly. And so
David, not so friendly after this one.
Two writers, William Wisher and Timber Falls writer Daniel Kay, and then Moore in the director's chair, filling in at the last minute because it was originally meant to be somebody else. I can't remember.
Does anybody care?
No. So we have John Moore from Dundalk and Pierce Brosnan from Navan.
Good man, John.
Together the Battle
lads.
Of the Bine.
Well, if they're going to do it properly, would they not just do Taffin 2? Get a big budget remake. Get that going.
They could just walk up to the IT guy. Then maybe you shouldn't be working here!
You could do that.
Yes.
That
was a tremendous Christmas tweet.
That was a fantastic
I can't wait to do that again next year. This year.
If TG Cahar have their heads off, they'll do that every year.
That was one of the most enjoyable nights I've had in quite some time.
That says a lot.
It really does.
You need to get out more.
I need to get out less food.
So, principal photography has begun in Canada on Irish director Alan Gilsenan's new film called Useless.
Unless
is based on the...
Not Useless.
Based on the book of the same name by award-winning Canadian author Carol Shields.
Who stars in it?
Catherine Keener.
I'm in.
Yeah. Good man, Alan. Catherine Keener's amazing.
Genius.
So, it's an Irish-Canadian co-production with Subotica here in Dublin and then Siena Films.
Good on him.
Yep, Film Board's on board, as well as Telefilm Canada, the Ontario Media Development Corporation.
Ah, there's where I'd like to get my money.
And Windmill Lane, we'll be doing post-production.
So. Excellent, excellent work.
Yep, so looking forward to seeing that. It's about a mother who she's a successful writer, but her daughter suddenly decides to go panhandling on the street corners, and so she's trying to reconnect with her daughter and try to figure out what the hell's wrong with her. So
we shall see.
So that looks like it could be fun.
I doubt it.
Looks like it could be.
There's a laugh a minute.
Good.
No, this sounds okay.
Yeah, well, Catherine Keener.
Yeah. I mean, we're in. We're automatically in.
So the Irish Film Festa, which is on in Rome, has announced its full...
Niall, wouldn't we get sent to this? Wouldn't you send us to Rome, Niall?
I mean, whatever about Jada, but that's just on the doorstep.
I could have done Rome.
Me too.
Rome correspondent. Anywho, sorry.
Swanning about like Marcello Mastroianni.
Yeah.
Ciao. Yeah. Sorry, that was a very Eddie Izzard-esque ciao.
Yeah, it was.
There.
It was a very fine Eddie Izzard-esque.
Thank you.
So the Unbrutalist is going to show there. So, as is A City Dreaming. That's Mark McCauley's one about this, about Derry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Brendan Bean, The Roaring Boymore, Sweeney, Poison Pen, 71, and Song of the Sea. Patrick's Dead as well.
Not a decent lineup, yeah.
First Kenya, and then Italy, now next, the world!
And a tribute to Lenny Everson.
Who we must reiterate is not dead.
No.
Hi, Lenny.
Did I miss something?
No, he sent a tribute to Lenny Everson.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. I thought there was some sort of internet rumour. He's now famous enough to get one of those hoaxes.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind him being that famous. Should we? Do you want to start the rumours? Like, get them all
rolling?
No, poor Lenny.
Wait till Room finishes post-production and then we go.
Hey, this goes well enough. We could double its box office.
Wait until he gets his Oscar now.
Yeah.
Blimey, you're aiming high.
I see within the very near future that Lenny Abramson being nominated for Oscar.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah. I can't see why not.
So, last weekend, the first ever Irish Animation Awards took place in Dingle, at the Dingle Film International Film Festival. So this is Animation Ireland's first awards.
One thing we know that we're doing well is animation.
Yes, exactly. And to that end, I launched a new subsite called Beacon, which is an animation.
It's taking over the world one site at a time.
Is he the madman from Pierce Brosnan's film?
He may well be.
So Beacon now sits alongside Garscanon under this Canon banner.
I prefer Beacon when it sits next to eggs.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist.
So Brownbag,
I'm ill.
Brownbag won three awards with Henry Hugglemonster winning Best Animated Preschool Series.
It's a great name.
And Bing winning Best Art Set, Design and Art Direction, and Best Director of an Animated TV Series. There was a special award handed out to Tom Moore of Cartoon Saloon and the two-time Oscar nominee.
And not John Moore.
Not John Moore.
Are they any relation?
No.
Would you admit it if you were?
One's from Dundalk, one is from Newry. They're not that far apart.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom, if he is related. Apologies. We're sorry about that.
So the award is named after Jimmy Murakami.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Then there was Aidan McTier's Deadly, which is just brilliant. It won Best Animated Short Film.
I'm surprised you didn't say it was Deadly.
Yeah, yeah. I was set up for that, really.
And Ballyferma College of Further Education's Julie Rush won the Best Student Film for her short Wounded.
Excellent.
So statues were particularly brilliant. They were... They're basically animated. They resemble a phenakistoscope. Which is one of the earliest devices for animation. It's basically it's a wheel that you scroll quickly through, and, and
it's like it's a cousin of a zoetrope.
Yeah, it is exactly. So, so that's they were the Irish Animation Awards. We'll see them return, I imagine, next year.
In place
but
of
the ceremony looked amazing. It looked like the lads had the most crack ever. It was like the IFTAs, but
good.
Classy. Speaking of the IFTAs are back.
With a vengeance.
Just for that, those awards that you didn't care about and didn't care anything about are back.
No, but the IFTAs, I mean, we should celebrate Irish films.
We should.
You know, and Irish television. Well, this might be the way to do it, because now they're not screening them live. Right.
There's a vote of confidence.
So they're not seeing them live.
No. So the awards are going to be held in May and October, with the film and drama being in May and the television section being.
Oh, they're splitting them.
Yeah, being in October.
Give it up, IFTAs. You're not the BAFTAs. BAFTAs, give it up. You're not the Oscars.
And so TV3 is going to broadcast an hour-long version of the award ceremony. So that should be. At least it'll be different than it was last year.
It will certainly be different.
It won't be as...
It need to be.
The last year was remarkably well-watched, though.
Of course it was.
Well,
it was.
Over a million people watched it.
Car Crash Television.
Exactly. It's all a load of rubbernecking.
It was rough. No. This is hence the decision to, one, delay it this year, and two, move it to a completely different channel.
Planet.
Yeah, after the Irish Film Board and RT both pulled out of it.
Wise decisions by both.
Anyway, on to the
top. Not that I'm opinionated.
This one could be interesting. Exposé are going to be covering it in the lead up. And, I mean, it becomes a very different creature then, you know?
Yeah.
Then.
Those answer. Paragons of critical analysis, Expulsa. God.
I'm not a fan, Philip, no?
On to the top 10.
Okay, let's do it.
At 10, Shaun the Sheep movie.
Oh, this has dropped a bit.
It did.
You must be joking. Sorry.
For sure.
Oh, no. Did you just make a huge joke?
Yes, of course I did.
Oh, my God.
Everyone makes one of them at some point. No.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get fleeced.
Oh, my God. I can't think of another joke to respond to that.
You're
I'm
ill.
Glad.
You're ill.
I am. I'm not the only one, clearly.
You're looking bad.
I feel sheepish.
Yes, yes.
At 9, still Alice.
Still here. In fact, gone up on last week.
Yeah. Go Alice.
Go Julianne.
Yes.
Sad to say that the co-director, Richard Glasser, passed away
last week. Ouch.
Yes, indeed. Suffer of motor neuron disease. But he got his most recognition and most critical acclaim for this film before he died. So there is that
small glimmer of hope.
Yep. Yes.
One of the things I didn't say, Shaun the Sheep passed the million point. So
okay,
yeah. Right.
What about Still Alice? I imagine a bit a bit off.
67,000. It's quite low.
And yet in the top 10.
And yet in the top 10. Speaking of low and in the top 10, at 8. Sweet Francais.
Ooh, that has opened quite poorly.
Yeah, €809 per location. That's very bad for an opening weekend.
This will be the last we'll see of this, I would presume.
It is 40 locations. That's very wide.
Crikey, that is wide.
Obviously, they thought a lot more of it. My brother went to go see this, and he lives in near Ross Lair. He ended up having to go to Arklow to watch it.
Did he really want to see it that badly?
Him and his fiancée.
She picked it.
Yeah, I believe
so.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, again, they probably thought that the couple of names in the film and the book, the recognition of it, might get it somewhere, but no dice.
Nope.
Mm. Oh, well.
It looks like a nice film, though.
But that's the thing. We don't want nice. It's a heartbreaking story, and you don't want, nice.
It's got Mateo Schoenherz. Yeah.
And Michelle Williams.
Yeah, I mean.
Hang on. Christian Scott Thomas.
Yeah.
It's good all around.
Allegedly. I haven't seen it.
No, but I'm in terms of talent. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then, at 7, Big Hero 6, still there and edging closer and closer to the 1.5 million.
Crikey.
Want to make money? Make an animated film.
It's okay. I liked it.
I think we were saying this time last year as well.
Yeah.
We've been saying it this time 10 years, I would imagine. It's never ending.
Or make one about sex. At 6, 50 Shades of Grey.
Sex at 6.
Oh. Dropping 58%, but still going, relatively strong.
But still going strong. It is a film about sex. Mm-hmm.
With 2.6 million.
Wow.
That's so okay.
Should finish with 2.75?
No. Ooh. Oh, maybe. It'll be very close, because if it keeps dropping like this, it can't.
Is that what she said?
Moving on quickly.
Second week, 58% drop.
Ooh.
It's Chappie at 5.
Yeah,
poor Chappie.
Yeah,
this is continuing a run. There's 5 films in the top 10 that posted lower than €1,000 per screen location.
Jesus.
That's poor.
You see, people don't like Chappie. We're just talking about...
Honk if you don't like Chappie signs that Philip is holding. Have worked wonders.
Indeed. Thanks, guys.
There's a strong yet violent...
An anti-Chappie streak.
Yeah, a mile long.
At 4, the second best exotic Marigold Hotel. Fall of 32%.
That's not a bad hole,
in its third week, it's edging for the €500,000.
I haven't seen the first one. Where to watch?
Very much Sunday afternoon.
Ah, okay.
Just drizzling out.
I gave it to my mother to watch.
With your mother.
Yeah,
kind of thing. At 3, it's Focus. Dropping 42%, but still posting an impressive amount, 74,000. So passing the €500,000 comfortably.
Not too bad.
That's big Willy.
Will Smith still has a global reputation anyway. You know.
Yeah, but again, he needs to get back to proper solid dramas if he wants to be taken seriously anymore.
Yeah, back to Michael Mann.
Back to Michael Mann, back to...
It's the pair of them,
yeah,
that's a fair point.
At two, and disappointingly in at two for the people marketing it anyway, it's Liam Neeson in Run All Night.
We thought this would be at number one.
I expected this to comfortably be at number one, but no, it underwhelmed, didn't even pass the 100,000.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, 60 screens...
Is the love affair with Neeson's craggy bloody...
Is Neeson-ploitation...
I think we've reached an oversaturation point. I mean, because
Taken... It's usually one every couple of weeks.
Taken 3 was out not long ago.
Two months ago.
Yeah, so that's two in early, you know, within the first, 10 weeks of the year.
There's probably another four on the go as well, ready to roll it.
Well, there's somebody trying to ape him this week, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah, Sean Penn and the Gunman. And then, opening at one... But not officially charting. Hang on. It's a preview.
Liam Neeson was beaten by a preview weekend.
Yes, a preview weekend.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Of the Jim Parsons and Rihanna starring animated
Of course it is.
Home. Jim Parsons of the Big Bang Theory fans.
The only good thing
Rihanna
about that show.
We don't watch the show. It looks terrible.
I've watched a couple of episodes. It was too many.
I've watched every single episode.
We
are not surprised by that now. We are not surprised.
Why do you need to watch it? I'm pretty sure you've probably lived it at some point in your
life. I relate to it quite a lot.
I would imagine.
I don't know. Somebody described it best. This is what dumb people think smart people sound like.
Yep. Can't beat that.
No, you can't. Well.
You can try.
Yeah. Liam Neeson couldn't.
Yep.
Nope.
So it will officially chart next weekend, but it is that one anyway.
The wish of the week.
Made 154,000.
Just a preview. And many locations?
60.
Sorry, is it?
It's a big preview.
Good lord. Okay,
but it paid off.
Essentially.
Yeah. But within the next 2 weekends, we're going to see big films aimed at kids. Well,
Mommy?
Let's start this weekend because Kaguya is not going to be massive within the children's audience.
No.
But the following weekend, when Cinderella opens, that.
Come on, Kaguya, beat
that
it.
Will clear up.
You can hope.
So on to what's out this week.
Oh, boy.
So one of the things that's out this week is the aforementioned Sean Penn in The Gunman.
Okay. We briefly mentioned Owen Wilson as an action star in John Moore's fiasco behind enemy lines back in the day. Then we had the Nice PlayStation Classics.
Yes.
And now we get Sean Penn.
Yeah, but at least Sean Penn looks craggy enough to be an action star, you know?
Why do action stars have to be that craggy?
Because
they're meant to have looked like they went through some sort of,
I don't
tough life or something. You know, they can't all be suave like Bond. Yeah.
Just get Warren Beatty back to do it.
Yeah, why not?
He's like 100.
He's not up to much.
The directing is Harry Hussle.
The problem is...
Why can't Christopher Nolan get his one done, then? That's what I don't understand.
Because I'd like to see Warren Beatty's one before I'd see Christopher Nolan's.
I'd like to see Christopher Nolan's. He wanted Jim Carrey.
For what?
Nolan.
For to play Howard Hughes in his film.
Ah.
No, I want to see the
Carrey,
see Warren Beatty directing. That's what I want to see.
Who?
He's a fine, fine director, Warren Beatty.
Reds
is fantastic.
Anyway,
we digress somehow.
The Gunman,
happens every week.
Apart from the, Oscar-caliber actor that is Sean Penn. You also have Idris Elba and Javier Bardem.
Okay, he surrounded himself with good people.
Yeah.
Question, does he make quips? Because I can't see Sean Penn making quips after he puts away a bad guy.
I can't
see I bet he kills people for making quips at him.
But the thing you need to
I bet you he kills a paparazzi in the film.
The thing you need to know more than anything about The Gunman,
okay,
other than the fact that Ray Winston is in it, and so that's always a sign of quality.
Oi, babe, you slag, bang.
It's directed by Taken director Pierre Morel.
That's enough. I know. I'm done. I won't be seeing this.
It's got a very, very good 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The pen is not mightier than the sword, and that.
Bad
on. Sorry.
Speaking of low ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and films opening this week, it's the 31% Insurgent, the sequel. Divergent. The Divergent series, Insurgent.
Yeah, tell us all about it, Philip. You've seen it.
Sorry,
I just want to see. Imagine that world that Philip has seen all the Insurgent series and tells us all about
McCoy. Divergent series.
Yeah, whatever that calls them, matter what.
Because the next one's called Allegiant, and it's been broken into two parts.
And isn't that a made up word?
Allegiant.
I think so.
It's made up.
Yeah, probably. I mean, allegiance is correct, but allegiant, is that somebody who is in an allegiance?
Who alleges... I pledge allegiance.
Please stop talking about this.
I pledge allegiance to the Divergent series.
Hang on,
if Kate Winslet was in charge, I would pledge allegiance.
Indeed. It's Kate Winslet's birthday soon.
We didn't get Kate anything.
We'll send her one of our t-shirts.
I know, it's in October, but she's...
He thinks it might be birthday too. He looks it up.
There was a story that there was a story earlier in one of the entertainment sites that she was going to spend her 40th birthday in a bikini. And I just...
That's a terrible country to go.
That kind of thing sticks in the mind, you know?
Why is that news on an entertainment website or any other website?
I have no idea. But anyway. Oh, so
I could spend my birthday in a bikini. Would I get headlines? No.
The wrong kind of headlines.
So the thing
about Mayo Shopper will do it.
Insurgent has a built-in audience, right? So it has the fans of the original film, and there wasn't a lot of them.
No.
But it got a sequel anyway.
Yeah.
And the cast.
Niall.
The cast is incredible.
Words diminishing returns are bandied about a lot these days.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have Naomi Watts.
Right.
And then you have Miles Teller.
Octavia
Spencer. Shailene Woodley. So you know, Ray Stevenson as well, who I really like.
I'm not going to see it. I mean, I'm not seeing it.
No.
Ever.
And then T.O. James, who? T.O. James,
who's
in The Secret Scripture.
Who?
Yeah,
T.O. James is best known for being in Divergent.
Who?
So you need to have seen Divergent. No, he's a girl, young girls like him.
Duty.
Who?
They do, yes. Judging by the Twitter hits that I got for posting pictures from The Secret Scripture, most of them were because of him.
I've done that before. I mentioned Robert Pattinson in the trailer for... the Cronenberg film.
The Cosmopolis.
Yeah, and I got like 150 retweets and favourites. People go berserk when you...
Yeah, I tweeted an RIP really about the co-director Still Alice, and most of the favourites I got were from Kristen Stewart fans.
Posted that Kristen Stewart was late to the showing of some film in Cannes, and as a result got retweeted more than he's ever been in his entire life.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the fans of this sort of stuff are very loud.
They generate the publicity, essentially.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean they're very smart, though.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, Divergent is not the worst of that particular series of... I've seen most of them, yeah.
And read them, too.
Mortal Instruments is worse than it.
At least we have somebody out here that... So he takes the hit first.
I do. I see the popular.
I said it before and I say it again. I will take that bullet if someone wants to pay me to do it.
Good God. How many more times are you going to ask me to pay him?
I'm not directing that at you. I mean in general. This is a shout out.
Out this week and also doing very badly in Rotten Tomatoes at 33% is the Jim Parsons and Rihanna starring Home.
The aforementioned.
Yes, so this is the...
This is a good week, isn't it?
Yeah. Oliver's reviewed this for us on the site.
Jennifer Lopez. He says Steve Martin.
Is there a first copy of The Alien in this?
No, I don't believe so. Damn. Although, this alien, it's about an alien who gets kicked off his own planet and ends up in Earth. I mean, he may be able to find the first copy of The Alien, you know?
Who knows?
Who knows? In any case, Oliver says it's eh.
Yeah. It seems to be...
If you've never heard of it until this week, you're going to get the feeling it's eh.
It seems
even though he's been on the site of buses for about the last week.
It seems to be Parsons playing on the Sheldon character, except in alien form.
It's kind of a Parsons project, if you will.
Sorry.
On the Parsons nose.
Speaking of things I rewatched Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, the one with the Alan Parsons project.
I like the Austin Powers movies. They stand up a lot better than people get the credit for.
They are ridiculously fun.
I remember somebody made a point that they could have made all the Bond films like that, and like genuinely could have made about 30 or 40 films if you actually had the effort to be interested.
Probably.
And then Tom Cruise cameos and all the rest, it's just genius. And Heather Graham is class in the...
Scott Evil.
When he goes on Jerry Springer.
Coke of Evil.
Why don't you just call Operation Ass Cream, you ass?
I was.
I want you to split into two. The moon landing party are split into two. We're going to have Moon Unit Alpha and Moon Unit Zeta.
I just want to watch the world right now.
We're just going to quote these to each other for the rest of the podcast and be in fits of laughter.
Line those three movies up for me now. I want to watch them. Oh shit, that's good.
I love only girls. Can I paint you your whole girl?
Just the two of us as well, which is fantastic.
And to went back in time and Rob Lowe was the
one. That was fantastic, Cass.
It was genius.
Oh god, what are good films.
I think I'm very badly bought. It's the bit in the first one where your man's like, I'll go and get you some odd sherbet. and he's trying to, he somehow manages to wedge the van completely sideways over the back of the park.
That's a masterclass of just pure farce. That's
yeah.
It. Sorry, off on a tangent again, folks. We will rejoin you shortly.
Yeah, anyway, so that was home. Now,
No, it wasn't.
Home was 20 minutes ago.
That's right. We will never enjoy home as much as we enjoyed that.
We can never go home again.
It was home that we were talking about when we went disastrously off topic.
Professional voices.
On to something good. Mummy.
It is good.
Put up.
Yes, Mummy.
The incredibly talented little brat that is Xavier Dolan.
He might be a brat, but he's a... Damn it. He's good.
His fifth film...
He's 50. He's only 26. Why? Who is he? How does he do all this? Anyway,
you interviewed him.
I just spent the whole time seething, just thinking you're so young and you're so talented and you're just so. Anyway, yes, Mommy is his latest. Would you believe? He probably has two more made since the time I talked to him. But anyway. Mm. This is the story of... It's set in the near future, in Canada, as his films are. And it's
the aspect ratio.
I know. 1:1.
Yeah.
It's a square.
But most of the time it's 1:33:1, so it looks like a square. This is actually a square, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... You get used to it, because the action that occurs within that square, you're riveted to it. It's a story of a mother, played by Anne Dorval, a frequent collaborator of Dolan's, and she is phenomenal. As a mother of this young delinquent, played by Antoine-Olivier Pilon, he's basically in the kind of institutional care, and he's been kicked out after an act of arson, and she has to take him home. And the fact that she has to try and hold everything together, you can see the heartbreak on her face every time that something goes awry because he gets particularly violent. And this guy, he has this baby face, but he can lash out just like that. And you're on tenterhooks to see what could happen next.
It's really so talk about Kevin type of thing.
Yeah, although not quite as extreme as what he does. He's not as mendacious or as forward-thinking. He's just...
reactive.
Very overreactive.
I believe when there's moments of levity in the film, it expands the screen ratio.
Yes, there are some moments of pure joy when he does that. There's also a lot of humour to be found in some of the soundtrack choices, like Oasis, Counting Crows, Celine Dion.
Well, it is Canada, after all.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But,
very negative ladies.
The basic story centres around mother and son and their new neighbour. They move into a new neighbourhood and... they meet their new neighbour, played by another frequent Dorval collaborator, Suzanne Clément. And she's a mousy teacher on sabbatical. And basically, they're all offering each other kind of a second chance. She helps teach the boy. The boy helps her break out of her shell. She helps give mommy a break, so on and so forth. The script, in that regard, it might seem a little cliched at times. But the intensity of the piece... the three lead performances, which are all fantastic, but again, special props to Dorval. She does great. She's the anchor of this thing, and she's phenomenal. And that aspect ratio, you're riveted to it, absolutely riveted, and it's a joy to watch. Although it does get emotionally intense, as Dolan films do.
I don't know when the hell I'm going to fit this in. But I really want to fit this in.
Do try.
I've seen a couple of the films. This first film, Lawrence Anyways, and Is it the first one is?
I Killed My Mother.
I Killed My Mother.
Yeah, this is a lot in common with I Killed My Mother.
Yeah,
instead of familial hate.
Yeah.
Instead of extreme familial hate, this is extreme familial love.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought of Lawrence Anyways was phenomenal, quite frankly. I thought it was quite wonderful.
The guy never knows just how to tone the emotions down.
No, I mean, it's exuberant and in your face, intense.
And sleepy. Mute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is in your... I mean, that aspect ratio, that is literally in your face. More often than not, all that is in the frame is a face. It is literally a portrait.
There's something sorry about him and Goddard getting awards at Cannes. The kind of the old and the new.
Yeah,
both French language director. So
yeah,
and both playing, surprising.
And both trying new things with form.
It's mad the way that the thing about changing aspect ratios and then breaking them is much more common now than
it is.
Than
I mean, you have that Haka, which is shot in 4:3.
Then Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, it was three different
aspect ratios. You had Oz the Great and Powerful, which started 4:3 and then broke out.
Hmm.
So.
I wouldn't see that. So.
Well, it started black and white.
Ah,
and then when they went to Oz, it became colour and it became Academy ratio. So.
Hmm.
It was very... I mean, the thing about Oz Great and Powerful was it was completely unnecessary, but it was actually perfectly good. You know?
Like some remakes are. Like all the good remakes tend to be.
Well, yeah, but this is a prequel, so...
Oh, yeah. Which are also often unnecessary, but sometimes they work.
The problem is you always know how they're going to end. That's problematic. So, also out this week is a Second Chance, which is Susan Bier's new one.
It's better than Serena, her other film from last year.
It's got Nicola Costa-Waldo.
It does.
So, for those Game of Thrones fans...
He's
a fine actor, and he's pretty good here as well. He plays a cop who... is, well, basically he's a narcotics detective, but he and his wife are beset by tragedy. Their infant's son dies cop death, and then he is left with a...
It'd be so unlike one of the Scandinavian dramas to be heavy on the...
you're not going to mistake this for Bergman, though. He's faced with a choice, and when you see the choice coming, you're either going to go with it or you're not, because it could fit in a soap very easily. The only thing that separates it from it are great performances from Costa-Waldo being the lead. And I must say, the cinematography is quite nice. It looks great. It's hard not to make Scandinavia look good. It's just something very picturesque about it. It's those colours.
It's the same thing as with Australia. You know, it's impossible to film your back badly. You know? Or the bog in Ireland, too. Like in Offaly,
it's true.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, but as I say, you either go with this or you don't. I say give it a go. I mean, there are worse thrillers out there, but it's you'd have to wonder. You see the plot coming and you think, really?
Yeah. I'll probably catch it at some point, probably not in the cinema, alas.
I say it might play better on a small screen.
Yeah.
Like I say, potentially quite soapy.
So if Mommy's not the best film out this week, then the latest Studio Ghibli is. This is Aseo Takahata's, who's the co-founder of Studio Ghibli. This is his latest one, The Tale of Princess Kaguya. And it is heartbreaking and beautiful and tender and exquisite looking.
I'm very excited with this.
Hand-drawn. Me too. Animation at its finest. It's a Japanese folktale story of a bamboo cutter who finds a little girl inside. He cuts a stalk and finds a little girl inside, and she grows up.
So far, so Studio Ghibli.
With him and his wife, but she's a princess, and she has to. But she was imprisoned, and so she must confront her fate. And punishment for what she did. So she wasn't meant to get out of the bamboo stock. So it is just extraordinary. And it's over. It's too long for a start. But other than that, it is beautiful.
We're seeing it Saturday.
Yeah, it's playing at JDIF as well as opening this weekend. It is.
So we did.
Is
have
an
reports.
Absolute must see for fans of Ghibli and for fans of hand drawn animation
and fans of good films.
Yeah, It's extraordinary. I had it as one of my favourite films of last year, but sadly it wasn't then out until this year, so I wasn't able to award it as such.
But you're able to rant and rave about it and tell us how great it is.
Yes,
because it's good enough. Yeah.
That suits me.
It's in Japanese with subtitles, or there is an English language version. The English language versions of the Ghibli's are always well done, because Disney are responsible for getting in the character.
I know John Lasseter's been a big kind of thing in that over the years. Like.
And so for this, they got James Caan for the woodcutter, or for the bamboo cutter, and Mary Steenburgen as his wife, and Chloe Grace Moretz as the princess.
Yeah, well, I'm presuming it's the subtitle version we've seen on Saturday.
I hope so.
Yeah. But that's good. I cannot wait.
And to go against all of those negative reviews from Rotten Tomatoes, this has a 100%.
Hey.
So.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Indeed.
Then, Ryan Reynolds is back.
Now, Ryan, but wait! He could be good this time.
This in The Voices. So Ryan Reynolds...
This trailer. The tone of it is all over the shop.
It's bonkers.
Like, what is this? It's like, what the hell's going on?
You can't deny you're intrigued.
Yeah, kind of.
Ryan Reynolds plays a mentally unhinged factory worker who must decide whether to listen to his talking cat and become a killer, or follow his dog's advice and keep striving for a normal life.
Right. Sounds like Summer of Sam with a laugh track.
But they cast again. So apart from Ryan Reynolds, you have Gemma Arterton, who can be brilliant or awful,
depending on the material.
And Anna Kendrick.
I'm in.
Yeah. So Jackie Weaver as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why did she get the second Oscar nom? I still don't understand this.
Because she's popular.
Yeah, but she's hardly in Silver Linings Playbook.
That's an awful film.
It was going that way, wasn't it? The Silver Linings was just getting lots of.
De Niro got an award nomination.
He's actually not bad. It was his best performance in a while.
That's not saying much, though.
It got all four acting categories. Yeah. Whoop-dee-doo.
There you go.
It's rare. So.
That doesn't mean it's deserved.
This is from the director of Persepolis.
Yes. Marjan Satrapi.
Yeah. This is... I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah,
I really
think I have to see it just to find out what
But
it's
when,
like.
Niall? We have too many things to
you
see.
You have 29 films, Niall.
I have 29 films in JDF, yeah. So it's going to have to be after JDF that I see.
I need to rehabilitate and sleep.
The very first thing after JDF is I'm going to a short film night in the Lighthouse.
Of course you are.
Yeah. So. That's the OIC Media Night. That's on Monday, the 30th.
Oh, I see.
Yes. That, exactly. And then the last film of the week.
Save the best to last.
Jason Statham in Wildcard. Oh, yeah, this is what you
this
want.
This has died on its proverbials.
28% in Rotten Tomatoes. Jason Statham, Sofia Vergara, and Milo Ventimiglia.
Who's directing this?
Simon West.
Yes.
Ah, I knew
Con Air. Simon West.
Con Air was a long time ago.
Wasn't it, though?
William Goldman on the script as well.
Let me. Why is Jason Statham doing this, and why isn't he doing Crank 3? That's what I want to know.
This pays better.
I want to see Crank 3. I demand it.
This is a remake.
Really?
Yeah, 1987, Burt Reynolds starred.
Oh, there you go. You know what? For a long time, we were trying to think, but no. Jason Statham is the new Burt Reynolds, just less mustachioed.
Less hair.
Not less hair.
Sofia Vergara, yeah. Stanley Tucci.
I hope the paycheck was good, Stanley. It was a fine
Anne Hesh.
Hello, Anne Hesh. We've missed you, but pick a better script.
Hope Davis as well. I mean,
how does something so weak get such a good
cast? Simon West
apparently made $3,200 off a $40 million budget.
$3,200.
That's what I read today.
Good God, Jason Alexander. Wow, Seinfeld was a long time ago too. Now
yeah,
I think about it.
So
Simon West's run, right? Because this is going to be interesting. Simon West's run since Con Air, right?
Okay, but.
General's Daughter. John Travolta. You
know,
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Ugh. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was dreadful. Then, When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the remake. Yeah. Then, a film nobody saw, Dali.
Dali?
Yeah. No. Then, The Mechanic.
That was safe as well.
Yes.
I've heard it's okay.
And Ben, what's his name?
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster is great.
Ben Foster is ridiculously intense. The guy needs to take more than a chill pill.
I really enjoy Ben Foster because he's that intense. Then Stolen with Nick Cage.
That also made very little money for that big budget. That made
$300,000 as well. And
Simon West is looking out of park.
As a Nick Cage completist, I have seen Stolen.
Of course.
And is this better than Taken, which is obviously aping?
No, it's not better than Taken.
Is it anywhere near as good?
No, it's nowhere near as good. As much as I love Nick Cage, it's still terrible. Then, Expendables 2.
Oh, wow.
It's a big jump in quality, relatively speaking.
The thing about Expendables 2, Expendables 2 has a great villain.
Yeah.
Because they call him Jean Villain.
Yeah.
And he's also, made by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It also has set pieces set in Call of Duty maps, essentially. The whole thing is ridiculous.
But the thing is, it was genius to have Jean-Claude Van Damme play a guy called Jean Villain. And Jean-Claude Van Damme wants to come back and play his twin brother, Claude Villain.
I want to see that.
I so want that to happen.
I want that to be the plot of Crank 3.
So do I. Get Crank 3 made. God's sake.
Then he made a film nobody saw again called Thunder Run. And followed that up with another one that nobody saw called Protection. And then there's this one that nobody's going to see called Wild Card.
He's giving him money. You can hire anybody, literally anybody.
Well, you see, that's the thing. He's a hack for hire.
He's the John Moore of
Britain.
No. I'd say he's a bit better than John Moore. At least he has a couple of good films.
Conner, you can always stand out with Conner.
Put the bunny back in the box.
He's got the whole world
in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
The Marietta manga, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, that.
Yeah. And on that bombshell, we'll leave it there for the week. See you mid-Jade.
Right. Hey, bye.